Welcome to Solutions for Higher Education, a podcast by Scott L. Wyatt, president of Southern Utah University in Cedar City, Utah. To subscribe to this podcast, please visit www.suu.edu/presidentspodcast, where you will find both the audio and a written transcript for today's podcast. Hi again, everyone, and welcome to Solutions for Higher Education, a podcast featuring Scott L. Wyatt, the president of Southern Utah University in Cedar City, Utah. I'm your host, Steve Meredith, and joining me in studio today, as he always does, is President Wyatt. Hi, Scott.
Hello, Steve. It's great to be here today.
It's always a pleasure to be with you and to interview people on these podcasts, but I think my favorite people that we interview, of all the people, and they're all amazing, or when we get to interview students.
Yeah, it's kind of the point of this whole thing.
It really is. That's the solution for higher education.
Students.
Right. Treat your students well. Anyway, we have two student athletes with us, and we're going to talk about student athletes, and why don't you introduce them to us?
So we do have two of our outstanding students here. Cam Oluiatin.
Yep.
On our basketball team.
Yes, sir.
Your second year at Southern Utah University, and you ready for the season that's coming up?
Yep, definitely.
You ready for the winter that's coming up?
Nope, not at all. Not at all.
We get students from all over the country, and Cam, you're from Texas, and it's just a little bit colder in the winter in Utah than
just
Texas.
Just a little bit, yeah, just a little bit.
But it's a dry cold.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Does that make a difference?
Nah, the cold is still the cold, and it's all
cold is still cold.
Yeah,
and we have Angie Nickerson. Angie, you're a runner.
Yeah.
In fact, you just did something kind of spectacular. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You won the conference title.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, so we were up in Sacramento for the Big Sky Conference Championship. We'd had a really good season thus far. Right now, I think that we're ranked 22nd in the country, so that's out of the, like, 349 Division I programs. We're the 22nd, and so we've had a good season. I think it's the first time we've had a women's team be nationally ranked, and so it's been really exciting. So going into the meet, we knew that we had a chance at the title, and we all ran really, really well. We put four of us in the top 10, so that's four of us that were all conference athletes, and then I was able to come away with a win, so it was an awesome end to, I guess, the conference season for cross country in my fifth year.
That is fantastic. Your fifth year, this is the end.
Yeah, this is it. It's gone by so fast.
And Cam, we're hoping that in a few months we're going to be talking about the basketball conference title too.
Yep, that's the plan.
Every year for the last few, we've done just a little bit better than the year before, haven't we?
Yeah. I'm trying to keep it going.
In fact, last year I did a terrible thing. I reserved a ticket to go out to see the games, and then I had some work I needed to do, so I had a ticket to go out and come back. And then I had to change the ticket to stay for another game, and then I had to change the ticket to stay for another game.
The guys just kept winning, and he had to keep rebooking his flight. I remember that.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, I have so little faith. Why did I do this to myself? Got to have more confidence. So this time, we're not doing that.
Nope.
This coming year, Cam, I'm going to be able to stay the whole time.
That's good. That's good.
No trading tickets back. That's just my preseason statement of faith. But I wish I could have watched the final races for the cross-country team. Angie, that's really exciting. Good luck as you keep going.
Thank you.
Yeah, what happens actually at the next level? So is it an NCAA or is there a regional beforehand? Or?
Yeah, so there's a regional first. Right now we're ranked fourth in the region going into the race. If we finish in the top four, we should qualify for nationals, and the top 31 teams in the country get to go. And then at nationals, I think that if we have a really, really good race, like if we all show up and run our best, I think we could be top 15, maybe like closing in on top 10, which would be incredible.
I need to get the dates in my calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I'll get them to you. We'd love to have you there.
Well, it's fun to watch success. It's inspiring to watch success. And and we all learn from our failures. So both of those are a piece of this. What we'd love to visit with you about in more detail is, how do you feel like this experience as an athlete is helping you in life? That's what we're in the business of, is helping people. So how do you think this is helping? Cam, what does this mean to you?
It definitely builds a mental toughness, just that mindset to just, like, that you can do anything, like, that you can say on the basketball court. It definitely translates to the classroom or to anything in life. Just, it's just, it's something that sticks with you. And I feel like it's made me a definitely a tougher person physically and mentally in life. So
there's a lot of times that I have thought that of all the things a student could learn going to school, maybe the number one would be grit.
Yeah, that's, yeah, definitely.
Because we end school not knowing everything we need to know.
Yeah.
So we have to keep learning.
Yeah.
And the key to success sometimes just seems like sticking with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Angie, what's your first reaction to that?
I completely agree. Have you read Angela Duckworth's book, Grit?
Oh, no, I need to.
Yeah, you need to. I have a copy you can borrow. Yeah, so she just talks about grit as being like the combination of passion and perseverance, and how if you like enjoy what you're doing and you stick with it, that that will trump just like pure talent and raw talent in any situation. And I think that's something that I've learned by being a student athlete, is just to like be persistent. We kind of joke when we look at our team this year, with like Coach Wool's recruiting, kind of how it's all played out, where like if he wouldn't be patient with us and wouldn't give us chances when we're struggling, that we wouldn't have a team. Because each and every one of us has had times where like we're injured. We've had a couple girls with like stress fractures, or people deal with like iron issues, or just like being in a slump for a year or so. And if he wouldn't have been patient with us, and if we wouldn't have been perseverant and stuck with it, that we wouldn't have a team. So I think that, yeah, grit to me is just sticking with something that you love. And I think that that is something that will carry into the next arena in life, like whatever we choose to do for our careers. If we're passionate and if we stick with it, I think that we can do really big things.
Is there a moment in a race or basketball game or practice, is there a moment where you felt this, where you thought, this is too hard, but I have developed something in me that helps me get through it? Or in class, have you ever thought, well, if I can lift weights for an hour, I can read this chapter, you know? Have you ever had that kind of a moment that you can think of?
Pretty much every day. I mean, we just, it's just constant work, and we've just gotten so used to it, kind of, that we're just telling ourselves like constantly that, yeah, this is nothing. Like, I'm just gonna do it. Like, and it definitely translates to pretty much everything. And that's why I'm grateful to be like a student athlete.
Can you see that you're becoming stronger?
Yeah, definitely. I just got that mindset for everything. Like,
can you feel it in your classwork?
You said what?
Do you see that in your classwork?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Angie, I was talking with some runners a month ago, and I asked them about this question, what was your hardest race? And their answer was, it's never been the hardest race. It's been practice that's been the hardest.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, racing, if you're prepared when you toe the line, like, the like phrase in running is like the hay is in the barn, and it's just like the important work's already been done. So when we get to the line, we know that like racing's tough, but the preparation's definitely tougher. I agree.
It's the everyday.
Mm-hmm.
We can all show up for one day, but can we show up for every day?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think consistency is such a big thing. Like, that's when I noticed the biggest improvements in my running, were like when I took every day seriously. And I think schoolwork is kind of the same thing, where it's like you can try and show up for the final test, but if you haven't been doing the work for the rest of the semester, you're not going to be ready. So it's just like what you're doing on the day-to-day basis that I think prepares you really well. And knowing that you've done that preparation, like come race day or come test day, I think makes it so much easier. Just like you're just more relaxed and you know that you've done what you need to do.
Steve, so you're a singer.
I am.
When you're not the announcer at football games or
right.
other things.
I do a lot of stuff.
It's kind of similar that you, a talent, whether it's running or basketball or singing or playing an instrument or learning a language, you can't cram for those.
That's right.
Yeah.
I actually was thinking about that in terms of the music students that I work with. It's not physically as challenging as what you folks go through, but I think the expectations that we have of those students are very, very high, and you have to perform in front of the public. And so there's a different kind of pressure on athletes and musicians and other students that are not only going through that difficult grit-filled training process, but then they're expected to take their final test in front of a crowd who's going to cheer for them. You know, I mean,
or yell,
right? Or else, or boo. Yeah. That's right. And when we go, you know, I'm the assessment accreditation officer essentially for the university. And when people talk about assessment, I always say in athletics, in the arts, we invite you to our final exam. You know what we're doing. You know by wins and losses, it's all very public. And I actually wanted to ask you that question. Do you feel that part of this development of grit and toughness is that you're able to stand up publicly and do what it is that we've asked you to do? In other words, the training is in private, but when you actually do the event, there are thousands of people along the raceway or in the stadium watching you do what you do. Has that extra pressure toughened you? Do you ever feel do you ever feel that pressure to perform, and does it help or hinder?
It definitely, well, for some people some people aren't prepared for it, but some people are. But it definitely, I feel like it definitely helps me, just that pressure, because it's something that, this is stuff that I've worked on for my whole life. And to be put in that spotlight in front of 1,000 people or however many people, it's just something that I've dreamed of. And it definitely excites me to be like able to do that. And so I definitely like love doing that.
That's great.
I'm
glad to hear that. I always wonder if kids don't go home and cry softly into their pillow. Yeah, because it's, to miss the front end of a one-on-one and lose a game is an awful thing.
It is, yeah.
But
huge
to do it
pressure.
In front of 1,000 people,
yeah.
You know, whose hopes and dreams were riding on that shot, that's a lot of pressure for an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old person. You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's a lot of pressure on their shoulders.
It's definitely not easy, but this is, like I said, this is just the most, that's, some people dream about that shot their whole life, and so it definitely makes it easier.
Yeah.
So have you ever had an occasion where it has gone really badly?
Yeah, definitely.
Everybody's watching, you're disappointed in yourself, your teammates are disappointed. You go home, and it's time to throw it in. How do you work through that?
Just forgetting about it, honestly. That's the main thing, just thinking that, okay, that's in the past. I'm just focusing on the next game or meet or whatever. Just honestly, just having a quick memory, just to be able to forget about it. And yeah, that's it. So,
just your mind, it's all in your mind.
It's all mental, yeah.
Figure it out. So many people in college nowadays, when things go badly, their anxieties go up and get depressed and not sure how to deal with it.
Yeah.
But you're practicing dealing with it all the time.
Yeah.
Angie, what's your reaction to that?
To which part? I agree with what Cam said about like having to, what Coach Hull calls it is having a Teflon attitude. So it's like when you have a bad race or like when stuff's not going how you want, just let it like slide off. So like let it like fuel you for the future. But like you have to just forget about it and keep moving forward and like keep your sights on the things that you want to accomplish and not the times that like you failed to accomplish them. And I think that's been a really big thing for us moving forward. Like this would have been my sophomore year. When you talk about like being in front of a group of people, we hosted the conference championships and our women were 10th out of like the 12 teams there. And that was, the times that like we get to have a big race that are, I mean, in Utah, let alone in Cedar City, it's very, very rare. So to have the one
all
time,
of your friends,
yeah,
and family,
all of our family,
teammate,
everyone,
classmates.
Yeah. So it's like the one time we get a race in front of everybody. Our women's team wasn't super strong that year, but if we would have ran well, I think we could have been like top five, probably like fifth or sixth, maybe. But to finish 10th, like that was the worst feeling. But yeah, you just have to keep your mind on the things that you want to accomplish in the future and just like keep working towards those things.
How do you do it?
One thing that I found that really helps me and that, like I've seen a lot of progress since I've done it is just like being vocal about my goals. And like, if I want to be an All-American, if I want to like this indoor season, I want to break the Big Sky record in the 5K, it's telling people. So you have people to hold you accountable for those things and just like making those types of goals something that are very habitual so that they're always in the back of your mind and you kind of carry them with you wherever you go. And yeah, that's something I think that applies to running in sports, but also to like your goals in the classroom. So it's like if you want to get, I don't know, a 3.8 GPA one semester, 4.0, those are goals that you need to carry with you. I'll like write my goals down just like on sticky notes around my house, or like I write my goal times on the inside of all of my running shoes, and I change like my passwords to like logins and stuff for like emails and Canvas and everything, like an inspirational type of quote with like my goal times at the end, so that it's like wherever you go, the things that you want to accomplish, it's like they're right there so you can't forget about them. And I think that's really helped me, and to just like set big goals too.
So you are making those goals part of your life all day long?
Yeah, all the time.
You can't forget them.
Yeah, like no matter where you go, like they're going to be there.
Do you ever have times where you struggle believing?
Sometimes I think that something that's helped me is to set goals that are like attainable, I guess, like kind of like smaller step goals. So like have the bigger goal, like something that you're aware of, but it's like, okay, before I can run a 5K in 15 minutes and 45 seconds, I need to have broken 17 minutes or like 17:30. So it's like at first the goal is to break 17:30, and then it's to break 16:40, and then it's to break 16 flat. And so it's like now that I'm at those bigger goals, I mean, 3 years ago, I wouldn't have imagined having my goal to be to break the indoor Big Sky 5K record, but now it doesn't seem that crazy.
You're about ready to graduate.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do next?
I'm hoping to, if my outdoor season goes like I think that it can, to do the Olympic trials through the 2020 cycle, and the 10K maybe in the marathon if I don't get the 10K standard, but I think I can. And I'd like to move to Flagstaff. And so I'm working on my degree in public administration right now. So I finished my undergrad degree in May in philosophy, and now I'm doing the master's program. So I'd like to get a job working in the nonprofit sector in Flagstaff, just working part-time for a little bit while I chase the running dream for a bit longer. And then, I don't know, after that, maybe train service dogs.
Steve, I thought really? She looked particularly smart.
Yeah.
That was my undergrad
philosophy degree.
Yeah.
This is the second time we've talked about that.
Yeah,
today.
It keeps coming back.
It does.
Cam, have you ever had a time when it was hard to believe to keep going?
Yeah, definitely. But I just do everything in my power to not think about the negative and just think positive about, and like Dr. She said, just constantly thinking about your goals and definitely helps and just stuff like that.
What's your worst day on the court ever?
Maybe a couple of years ago when I was at Boise State, I shot to, because there I was on a short leash. Like anything that I did, like I was a bench player, so I didn't have the freedom like that everybody else had. So it was one game where I shot the ball terribly, and I just never played after that. And after that, it was kind of just downhill. And, yeah, that was pretty much.
Were there times that you said, "It's, I guess I'm not a basketball player"?
No. I've stuck with it my whole life. I've never.
Never doubted?
Yeah, never doubted.
And so you must have really developed an ability to block out negative thinking.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like as a basketball player, you have to have that mindset. Yeah.
So you obviously have coaches and teammates that surround you that are a support for you. I'm always curious because, again, because of my background, about your other support network, particularly parents, I think, are a big part of a young athlete's
definitely
life. Can you talk a little bit about that and the impact that it's had on your family and so forth to have you be a D1 athlete?
My family and probably hers are definitely my number one fans, and just to have them behind your back and just is just unreal, and it definitely helps, and just to have them is just amazing. Yeah,
exactly. My parents are, they're always, like, so proud. My mom's one of those ladies that goes a little crazy on social media. And so I think that, like, she posts stuff all the time. And I think all of her, like, friends and my family think that I'm a lot better than I am just because of the way that, like, she posts stuff. But it's awesome. Yeah, just, like, having their support. And, I mean, parents are the people that are there from, like, for you from day one. So, like, they've seen the struggles and they've seen the times that you're really – like having a lower, like in a slump. And so like when you're doing well and they get to see that, I think it just makes them like so excited. Yeah, they're the best.
So what would you say to somebody who may or may not be an athlete or something like that, not having the experiences you're having? What would you say to somebody to help them develop grit? So a student that's not an athlete, what would you tell them? How would they develop it?
I think that no matter like what situation a student is in, to just like find something outside of school that you're passionate about and that you enjoy. So like for us, it's like athletics, but there's people who maybe like music or theater, or even just like being super involved in a certain club or a certain organization. And I mean, we have plenty of those on campus. So I think finding something that you enjoy and that you can put time in outside of the classroom, I think that's a really good way to just like develop grit and also to like learn how to manage your time and how to manage school a little bit better. And school can be tough, so I think having like a release from that and like a way to just like enjoy yourself outside of school is super important.
So if I understand what you're saying is find somewhere where you can work.
Yeah, like something outside of school, because I think school can get exhausting and it's like an incredible opportunity to have, but I think being pulled in a couple of different directions can be good for you. Like it can be stressful and exhausting, but I think that it's the kind of thing that prepares you for the next arena and like for having a real job and stuff. And I think it just makes it more enjoyable too. So like whatever it is, find something that you're passionate about. And even if it is like in school, like if you're a biology major, find a professor to do research with, or like find an extra thing that you can do, just because I think that, I don't know, I think that makes the college experience more meaningful.
Sometimes it seems like people, so not just students, people in general, mm-hmm. are always looking to find the easiest way to get things done.
Yeah.
And what I hear you saying is that's not the way to develop grit. You got to go looking for things to get you busy. If you're not an athlete, you got to go find something else to.
Yeah.
Is that what you?
That's the case. Yeah. Just constantly working on your craft helps too, and just obviously nobody got where they wanted to be, and it was just simple. Like I feel like every successful person had to go through obstacles, and it just makes them who they are now, and it definitely helps with a lot of things, and other than it helps with literally anything. So yeah.
So what is your, I asked, Cam, I asked you what your worst moment was. What is your best moment so far? Or one great moment?
On the court or?
On the court.
Maybe in high school when I hit this game winning shot to advance to the second round in playoffs. That was definitely probably my greatest moment.
Is there a moment when you feel like the world is all yours?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. After that shot, I felt like I was the man.
Do you keep that in your mind?
Yeah, definitely. It's just, it kind of boosts me to I kind of let myself remind me that, yeah, I can do it. That, and just that shot, it's always keeping in the back of my head.
It's like chasing helps. That feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done this before, so I can do it again. Yeah.
Chasing the feeling.
Yeah.
You got something in your head and you're trying to find it again?
Yeah. It's like that good moment, like the game-winning shot or like just a huge PR on the track, like finishing the race and looking up and seeing the time and being just like, wow, like I can't believe I just did that. And then, yeah, it's like that's the feeling that you're trying to get.
You're both doing two very different things because in basketball, you've got the score in front of you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're running, you're not looking at the time. Or are you?
On the track, like when you race a 10K, so that's 25 laps around the track, it's a lot. It's like the longest race on the track in college. Yeah, you know the time. Like there's the digital clock at the finish. This is at big races, but at the ones where we're trying to run the really fast times, there's like a clock at both 200s, and then we'll have a coach somewhere on like on the track, and you know where they are going to the race, and they're yelling your time at you every single 400.
Every
so
time.
It's like if I'm trying to run 32:20, that's 80 second laps. So it's like every 80 seconds I have a coach yelling like that was an 80 or that was a 79. That was an 82. You got to pick it up. So yeah, the numbers are on track are a lot different than during cross country. Cause cross country, like you'll maybe see a 3K split on a digital clock halfway through, but cross country is a lot more about effort than time.
Yeah. And in cross country, sometimes you don't know where you're at.
Yeah. There's those races where you think that like, you're like, oh, like I'm in the last 800, and you get to like a mile mark, and it's like, okay, just kidding. I actually have like I thought I had 3 minutes left, but I still have like eight, and that's the worst. That happened to me on the track for my first 10K, and the 10K hurts. Like it's a very painful race, but we're coming around, and I thought I had eight laps left, and the lap counter said seven, and it was just like the biggest relief. I was like, I only have seven laps left. Like I thought that I had eight, but they'd messed up on the count. And so then I thought I had a mile left, but I actually had five laps left. And that was rough. That was probably the most like pain I've ever been in a race too.
You had to run 25 laps by yourself.
Yeah. Well, there's like other people around. But like you string out pretty good in a 10K, like you'll be lapping people. Just cause it's like a over half hour race. But that was probably the most pain I've ever been in, thinking I had four laps left and actually having five laps left. That was rough.
Even five laps is still
at crazy that point, like it feels like an eternity. But
I have a new saying that I love, and it's pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. That if we put into our heads that we know it's going to be painful, but mm-hmm. it's our choice how to respond to that pain.
Yeah,
and I think running's different than basketball, I think, a little bit, but like just being prepared for the pain. So it's like if you go into a race and it's hilly and it's cold, like the more you're expecting it, I think the better you'll be prepared. Yeah.
I knew this was coming. This isn't a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, this is really fun. Good luck in the basketball season coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
And good luck in the regional.
Yeah, thanks.
What was the last thing or the first thing that went through your mind when you realized that you had won?
When I had won or the team had won?
Both.
Oh, so.
Both. At the conference championship.
It was kind of a weird race because I've won a couple of like conference championships like in indoor and outdoor just like as an individual. But in cross, it's so much of a team effort. And so, like, this was the first race that I had led from, like, the gun to the finish. So, like, I had no idea where anybody was. And we kind of strung out pretty quick. And so, like, I could hear people cheering for me, but, like, I couldn't hear them cheering for my teammates. So I didn't know where everybody was in the race. So, like, I crossed the finish line and just, like, immediately turned around and saw there was a girl, two girls behind me, and then it went SUU 4th, SUU 5th, FCU 6th. And it's like, in that moment, I knew that our team had won. And I was so excited. We were all excited. And then the finish, like, the finish shoot just turns into, like, this, like, carnage of, like, people laying down and crying. And, like, everyone was so excited. And we had quite a bit of family out there. Like, my mom and then my teammate Charlie's mom, they both drove up together. And so they were both there, which was just awesome. And so it was exciting. It was really exciting. But just to see, like, I've been working so hard, but my teammates have been too. So to see each of my teammates have such a great race and be just, like, so excited for, like, this common goal that we've been working towards was just huge. It was awesome.
We need successes and we need failures. We need them both.
Oh, yeah. The failures make the successes so much sweeter.
Yeah. So, Cam, what's going to be going through your head when the basketball team takes the championship?
I don't even
What do you think would be going through your head?
That, man, is this real? Because this is, like she said, I know I've been working for it, and I know my team's been working for it. And so when it finally happens, I don't know how I'm going to react. I'm just going to – because, honestly, winning the Big Sky, I don't think anything that big has ever happened to me. And just to win something like that and to go to the NCAA tournament, I really don't know how I'm going to react. I know it's going to be very emotional. I know that.
You've been listening to Solutions for Higher Education, a podcast featuring Scott L. Wyatt, the president of Southern Utah University. We've been joined in studio today by Angie Nickerson from the women's cross-country team and by Cam Aluyatin from the men's basketball team. And thank you for joining us. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll be back again soon. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Solutions for Higher Education. To subscribe to this podcast, please visit www.suu.edu/presidentspodcast, where you will find both the audio and a written transcript of today's podcast. The original music for this podcast was composed by Jack Barton, a master's degree student in music technology at SUU. For more information about Southern Utah University, please visit www.suu.edu.